Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Only those who receive the seal of the living God will have the passport through the gates of the holy city. The seal of the living God will be placed upon those only who bear likeness to Christ in character. As wax takes the impression of the seal, so the soul is to take the impression of the Spirit of God and retain the image of Christ. Many will not receive the seal of God because they keep not His commandments or bear the fruit of righteousness. The great mass of professing Christians will meet with bitter disappointment in the day of God. They have not upon their foreheads the seal of the living God. Lukewarm and half-hearted, they dishonor God far more than their vowed unbeliever. They grope in darkness, and they might be walking in the noonday light of the Word under the guidance of one who never errs. Those who the Lamb shall lead by the fountains of living water, and from whose eyes He shall wipe away all tears, will be those who receive the knowledge and understanding revealed in the Bible, the Word of God. We are to copy no human being. There is no human being wise enough to be our criterion. We are to look to the man, Christ Jesus, who is complete in the perfection of righteousness and holiness. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the pattern of man. His experience is the measure of experience that we are to gain. His character is our model. Let us then take our minds off perplexities and difficulties of this life and fix them upon Him, that by beholding we may become changed into His likeness. We may behold Christ to good purpose. We may safely look at Him, for He is all wise. As we look to Him and think of Him, we will be formed within the hope of glory. Let us strive with all the power that God has given us to be among those who are sealed.
Once again, Heavenly Father, You have given us an opportunity to go to Radio Land to present a message to Your people. Once again, as never before, we ask Your divine guidance, a double portion of Your Holy Spirit, that You be able to do for us what we definitely cannot do for ourselves. And when all is said and done, Heavenly Father, we have to be along with our family members and friends and Your people everywhere. We'll be ready, saved, and sealed for Your kingdom. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Turning Points, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. Once again, we would like you, our listening audience, to take your pens and notepads and sit by your radio and take notes and study some of the texts that we share with you today, because the topic that we are sharing again is living a sinless life. And there are many Christians that we have spoken to and have called us and wrote us who make it seem as if we as Christians in 2003 cannot live a victorious life. And we want to be sure that we can or cannot. So please, we ask you to listen to what we're saying. And if there be any comments, please feel free to give us a call at area code 242-322-6273 or area code 242-364-0085. Or you can write us at P.O. Box EE17719, Nassau, Bahamas. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. This afternoon, our topic, health topic this afternoon, will be on dysmenorrhea. I think that's the way it's pronounced. And we will be dealing with that along with a sinless life. But here's Marlene first with a little promotion.
Thank you, Julian, and good afternoon. We are so happy to be able to come into your homes or in your cars, wherever you may be congregating at this moment. We're just happy that you chose to tune in so that you can listen to another Turning Point program. Remember, upcoming events, May the 4th, it's a Sunday, every Sunday. For 6 weeks, we have a vegetarian cooking class that runs from 4 to 6:45 p.m. six Sundays consecutively. It's the most exciting program that will transform your life forever. You must be a part of it. So please give us a call so that we can register you for this upcoming class that's going to be held on Seabreeze Lane on Sunday, May the 4th, from 4 to 6:45.
Okay, Marlon, we are going to get right into our topic this afternoon. But before we do, could you explain to the listening audience once again, what is premenstrual syndrome?
Premenstrual syndrome, or what is commonly known as PMS, is a premenstrual tension or a disorder that affects many women during the 1 or 2 weeks period before menstruation begins. And remember, it comes with many symptoms.
Yes.
Nervousness and irritability and tiredness and tension and depression. And so we would like to share a little more on how we can better handle or be better able to carry on in regular life. You know, so like we said last week, a lot of women cannot go to work during this time or cannot go to school. And so we know that there are recommendations or there are tips that can actually help us so we'll be able to lead a normal life.
Okay, our topic this afternoon is supposed to be dysmenorrhea. So can you explain what that is? I guess that's something to do with premenstrual syndrome.
Yes, it does. Dysmenorrhea means a very painful or difficult period or menstruation. In young women, it may be due to the immaturity of the uterus. And usually after having your first child, dysmenorrhea usually goes away. Now, we're not encouraging you to go out and have children just because you're having problems with a period or a very bad menstruation. What we do recommend is that you follow some of the recommendations that we're going to give you. Apparently, there is a dilation of the cervical opening during pregnancy that helps to alleviate dysmenorrhea. But there are many women who experience these same symptoms that we shared, who are facing dysmenorrhea and don't even know it, don't even know how to term it, but it's actually called dysmenorrhea.
Okay, what recommendations do you have for our audience in terms of dealing with dysmenorrhea?
Dysmenorrhea and premenstrual syndrome. Here are the recommendations. Remember we started last week, I'll just review them. Lots of fruits and vegetables, lots of water, reducing your salt intake, getting rid of the meats, especially the red meats, the processed meats, no dairy products, and avoiding caffeine. And this week, we are avoiding alcohol and sugar consumption. Remember, these foods cause valuable electrolytes, particularly magnesium, to be lost through the urine. And this is not good. We need to make sure that we are getting lots of magnesium during this time, especially during this time of the month. Then we want to get regular exercise, lots of exercise. It helps the oxygen level in the blood, which helps in nutrient absorption and efficient elimination of toxins from the body. Remember, I did mention earlier, I think it was the last week's show, that because of the amount of toxin in your system, it seems like the more you have that toxin build up, or the toxicity level rises, the more pain and discomfort you may have. So get a lot of exercise and sweat out the toxins out of your system. Then remember that you should use a warm or heating pad or a hot water bottle to relieve cramping. And you can place the bottle on your stomach or wherever it is that you're experiencing discomfort, and these do help. There are always natural herbs out there, or herbal remedies that have been helpful not only for dysmenorrhea and premenstrual syndrome, but for a lot of problems. But particularly for today, I'd like to share just 4 of them with you. So if you have a pen and paper or a pencil, just write these down very quickly. These are very, very helpful. There is the kava, K-A-V-A. It's very easy. Kava, which actually helps. It has a antispasmodic property that helps to alleviate cramps, meaning that those spasms that you'd get normally, it helps to relieve it. It helps the tension to go away. Then we have the rosemary, which are good. It's good for cramp and helps to calm the nervous system. A lot of us, we need that. Even those of us who aren't going through menstrual problems, we need some of those rosemary. Then there's the peppermint, very familiar to us, and the valerian root, which is also very familiar to the Bahamian public and to other persons who may be listening, which helps to stabilize mood swings and tones the nervous system. And so we need to have some peppermint and valerian root in our diets, especially during that time of the month. Then there is the blessed thistle and the fennel seed. Blessed thistle and the fennel seed, and these herbs help with hormone balancing. It helps, and it's extremely effective during the premenstrual syndrome or during that time of the month. And then, of course, like we always advise and like we have been doing for the past few weeks, we've been admonishing you to join us on our fast. Fasting on fresh juices and spirulina for several days before the anticipated onset of menstruation helps to minimize the symptoms that you may be experiencing. Spirulina is a protein supplement that once you are fasting, you take these the spirulina, and the spirulina helps us not to become what we call hypoglycemic. We don't get the swings in low blood sugar, and we don't feel like we're going to faint. It's called S-P-I-R-U-L-I-N-A, spirulina. And it's accessible to us in all the health food stores. It's available there. So just ask your health food store provider or whoever it is that you may shop with to get it for you if they don't have it. And like I said, you can utilize this during your fasting days. I don't normally advise taking it otherwise, but it's very, very effective for persons who are having hypoglycemic, who are or diabetic. Sometimes they have problems with their low blood sugar. This is very, very effective. So I would advise you to take the spirulina on days that you are fasting. And remember, our challenge, I will beat my friend here to the deal. Our challenge for the week is that we must fast. Every Thursday, come on, every Thursday, no cooked foods. Fruits in the morning for breakfast, a nice salad for lunch, and probably some juices in the evening for supper. Join us this and every Thursday from now until eternity, I like to say. This will help you to feel so energized. Drink lots of water during this time, and it will flush out the toxin in your system. This is great. It will help you to not only cleanse your system physically, but spiritually as well. Remember, invest in your health.
Thank you very much, Marlene. Welcome this afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Julian, and good afternoon, Bahamas.
Once again, listening audience, and Paul, we will be discussing, again, living a sinless life, or is it possible to live a sinless life? Now, Paul, last week you closed with the importance of hiding the Word of God in your heart. Why is it important to hide the Word?
It's very important for us to hide the Word of God in our heart, Bahamas, because it is this Word that caused our Heavenly Father to live the victorious life. If we know the Word, when the temptation comes, we'll know what is sin for what is not a sin. Remember, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the only way we're going to know what sin is, and the only way we're going to know what the law says, if we read the scriptures for ourselves. Isaiah 8:20 also tells us, through the law and through the testimony, if we, a turning point, nor anyone else, speak not according to the word of God, there is no light in them. That also includes us. So whatever we say, it must be based on the word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. Remember, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5 that he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He only came to fulfill. So he did not destroy any part of the word of God. Some people normally will tell you that only the New Testament is good. Some others will tell you only the Old Testament is good. But I put it to you that from Genesis to Revelation, according to the word of God, all of these things the Bible says was written for our example and for our encouragement.
Yeah, but Paul, once again, why don't you just remind our listening audience what the Bible definition of sin is?
According to 1 John, it is, the Bible says, for sin is the transgression of the law. And the dictionary says almost the exact same words, that sin is the transgression of God's law. Remember, the law's job is only to reveal what sin is. It does not give us the victory over sin. The victory only comes in Jesus Christ, the lawgiver himself, which he wrote on tables of stone over 6,000 years ago.
Is crime sin?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so if crime is sin, then why are Christians getting upset if they believe that you cannot stop sinning? Why are they so upset with the crime problem, sweethearting, homosexuality, and some of the other big issues that we have around the place?
The reason why I believe they're getting upset is because they don't truly understand what it is they're saying. They don't truly understand that if you are a child of God, there's no reason for you to make noise. Remember, even in situations when Jesus was here, the Bible says he did not utter a word sometime. Even when he was on the cross, he did not say anything. Even when he went before Pilate, certain things Pilate said to me, said, you have said. I didn't say anything. The time must come when not every question that come forward to us, we should give an answer. It's very important for us Christians to believe what the Word of God says. We are the light of the world, according to the Bible. And if we are the light, then let that true light shine forth from our hearts in the love of God.
Last week, we also spoke about temptation. And we talk about temptation not being sin. So the question I have for you now is, does God tempt us?
No, we do not. According to James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, the Bible tells us that let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But verily a man is tempted when he is drawn away after his own lust and enticed. And the Bible says, according to James chapter 1, verse 15, and when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Ask the Lord for the strength. And also ask him to give us the awareness of when the escape comes, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. In the power of the Lord, we go forward in the strength, not yielding to the temptation. Because remember, he has promised that he will always make a way of escape for us. The problem is, what James says, we want to be drawn away after our own lust. And this is what happens when we sin.
Okay, Brother Paul, one of the things that you see, that when you listen to Christians and even non-Christians nowadays, is they talk about, you know, I will get forgiveness on my deathbed, or I will wait until I think Christ is almost ready to come. Is there any danger in this?
Yes, there's great danger in this. Because one of the texts a lot of people like to use, especially Christians, they use this text for a crutch. Like they have a broken leg or something, and whenever they need a fix, they'll get a fix. But listen what 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now the problem here is, most Christians like to move that if, and says when we sin. But notice it never said when any man sin. It says if, referring that you and I do not have to do it. The only time we do it, here again, James comes to play very important again. It happens when you and I are drawn away after our own lust. That's why it's very important for us to guide the avenues of the soul. See what it is that so easily beset us and causes us to fall. Because remember, the devil will try everything possible in order to get us to fall. Another thing I like to add here, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, I think it is, the Bible says the only people that the devil hates are those who are living the victorious life. Read it in your spare time. That's Revelation chapter 12, and verse 17. The Bible says, only those who keep the commandments of God, all of them, 10 of them, they are the ones who the devil hates. So if you keep in 5, or you keep in 8, or if you keep in 9, remember, he loves you with all his life, because he realizes you're going to have to make the fire bigger when the world should be on fire.
How long is this text, 1 John 2, 1 and 2, supposed to be in place, so to speak?
Well, the easiest way I can answer that, we must all realize that each one of us are going to be judged at a different time. This is a program we'll do later on down this series to show you that the judgment is going on right now as we speak. According to 1 Peter said the time is come that judgment must first begin at the house of God, singular, and if it first begins at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So as we speak, judgment is going on right now. And Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 tells us, and at that time Michael shall stand up, that great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to unto the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Remember, not because our names are written in the book, that does not mean it cannot be taken out of the book. Because Revelation chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 2, I think it is, there are a lot of scriptures there that tell us that he that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of this book of life. So it's very important for us to overcome what? Sin, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, young people. Sin is what God wants to take out of our lives. Remember last week I told you